Hallelujah. Can we say God is good?
All the time.
Welcome you this morning to Word of Faith Worship Center. God is awesome. He's awesome in this place. Amen. He never changes. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. I need to hear that. The world needs to know that. That He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's settled. God cannot lie. He is good. And we need to know that we know that we know that He is for us and He is not against us. I said He's for you and He's not against us. If God is against us, we might as well pack it up. But He's not. He is for us. And if He be for us, no enemy. No foe. Now, a lot of times when we speak to enemies in the Old Testament, it was an enemy, a soldier. Now our enemies, and Michelle talked about, is shingles, is sicknesses, is diseases, is persecution, and they shall not stand in the presence of God. Amen. Like Michelle said, she's healed. Her body has to come in line by that word. Amen. Hallelujah. The presence of His Spirit. And in that presence, there's fullness of joy. And that's what we're talking about this morning, is the joy of the Lord. As we prepare to give our offerings this morning, if you need the tithe envelope, they're there in front of you. But I've got something I want to share, but the Holy Spirit was impressing me this morning to go to the book of Joshua. Joshua is a type and shadow of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And Joshua in the Old Testament was Moses. We could about say that was his associate pastor. That was his second man. And in the book of Joshua, we're familiar with this, in Joshua 1, verses 8, chapter 1, verses 8, Moses is getting ready to take a journey. He started on the mountain with God, and that's where he finished with God. And he left. He's out of here. He ran his race. He finished his course. 120 years. He did what God called him to do. Not perfectly, but he finished the race. He didn't quit.
Amen.
No matter what adversity comes against us, we're not quitters. We're victors in Christ Jesus. Amen. And the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, will never push you, but He will comfort you. He will encourage you and inspire you not to quit. No matter what lies in front of you. And Moses, after he passed away, or I just say after he stepped on into glory, I like to kind of, a lot of these passing aways, we don't think about passing, we're stepping into eternity in heaven where there is no sickness, there is no decay, destruction, there is no sadness, it's joy. God's joy. And we can experience that, and we will as a Christian here. And now, because joy is a part of your born-again spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. If you've been in Wednesday night Bible study, you've probably heard Miss Tammy talk about joy and a lot of other things. Fruits that we have as Christians. Joy is one of them. Verse number 8, this book of the law, and back then they had a book, the Mosaic, they lived by the Mosaic law, whatever Moses wrote down. We have the book of the law, but let me just read it. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Moses is charging Joshua. But you shall meditate. That's our biggest prayer right there, is meditation. Meditate not on what we think is right, but on the Word of God, which is right. That's where our meditation's got to be. What has God said? He hasn't changed. So if we meditate upon that, we'll have the wisdom to speak the right thing. Don't let this law depart from your mouth, but meditate in it day and night, I'll say night and day, that you may observe to do according to all that is written. For then, when we do that, we got a part to play, right? We do that. As we do, you will make, God's not going to make it, you will make your way prosperous. He's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for me. He hasn't changed that plan. He can't change it. He never changes. We can. Because he says, when we meditate upon this word and do according to what it says, you will make your way prosperous. And what's coming with that? You will have good success. So don't let anything else change. God hasn't changed his mind about you being prosperous and having good success. We have better promises in the new covenant. That was the old covenant. If God said we're going to be prosperous and have good success in the old, it's time for some new wine. Talking about that new wine that's been poured out, we've got it. We've got God on the inside. God inside minded. That's where you are a success. You're a success in Him. That's how we prosper is in Him. Get on the glory train. I think there's a song Terry can maybe find for us. That glory train. I like to say, get under the spout where the glory pours out. Under God, in His glory, in His anointing. And He's in you. That living water is in you. Verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong? If God said you can be strong, Amy, you can be strong. Ruthie, you can be strong. And of good courage. Do not be afraid. Fear not. That's the key. Nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is what? With you wherever you go. Not only in the Old Testament He was with them, now He's in you. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, is in you. And He will never leave you, never forsake you, even until the end of this age. And when this age is over, we just got a new book we're going to write. Books that we're going to write with Jesus. Amen? That's enough right there just to encourage you to want to give into this good word, into the good work that goes. Now, not every church is a good work. I'm not against churches, but you won't be in the right place doing what God's called you to do. You won't be a good steward of what He gives you to do. And I just want to just quickly talk about the tithe when you give this morning. Because a lot of times we think about tithe is something due, something owed. We don't owe God nothing but love, to love one another. Owe no man nothing but to love one another. If we do that and give, God can't help but give you. You will prosper and you will have good success. Amen. That'd be enough right there to give. But I just want to take you and just remind you in your mind, we've probably heard about the Jericho growing up as kids in Sunday school. The walls of Jericho came tumbling down. As a kid, we've seen walls. Now, we know the story. You know, God fights our battle, and He does. But if you'll, just a quick, thinking about the tithe, the children of Israel had been in the wilderness for 40 years. They came out of Egypt. God gave them favor. They received all the gold, all the silver. The Egyptians gave it to them. Take it. Get out of our land, because we can't live with you. All these curses that God was bringing on them because they wouldn't let them go. That's all they had to do is let God's people go. Now, all that stuff wouldn't have happened. But they sent them out with all the gold and all the silver, and they went out in the wilderness. God took them across the Red Sea. And what happened when Moses went on the mountain? When the pastor took a vacation, about 40 days, they took all that gold, all that stuff, they had a party, and they made what? An idol. A calf. And they worshiped the calf. That's the idols of Egypt. See, God, they just came out of Egypt. So now, 40 years, all that, you know, we know the story there. We're talking about Jericho. Jericho is the promised land. That's the gateway to the promised land. Your tithe is your gateway to the promised land. Because what it is, what Jericho represented, the walls of Jericho. They went in the wilderness 40 years. They had all the gold and silver there that Egypt gave them, and they made a calf out of it. Jericho, we know the story, when they went around those walls 6 days, blowing the trumpet. They didn't say anything. The priest blew the trumpet. But then 7 days, they were commanded to go around the city 7 days. And when the priests were commanded to blow the trumpet, they would shout when Joshua said shout. When the pastor said shout, you shout. Because he's hearing from God. Just whatever you, according to what God says to do, if He says shout, shout, the walls came down. Those walls represented your lack, your defeat, your enemy, your destruction. They were keeping you from the promised land. Okay, when those walls came down, God had already told Joshua, I've already given you the city. And when the walls came down, the city was given. They went in and they conquered. But God had told them of all the gold and all the silver, all the spoil, God said, is mine. You're like, why is God taking this from me? Because they didn't know what to do with it. The first time they got all the gold and silver God gave them, what did they do? They made a calf. Something that could not speak, couldn't hear, a dumb idol. See, God, He doesn't need the gold and silver. He needs us to know how to worship Him. How to worship Him. See, that's the gateway to the promised land, is worshiping Him. Hallelujah. So see, He took the gold and He said, you bring it into my house, into the temple. See, that God was going to, they was going to make a temple they would carry around. That was going to be for the treasury of the Lord. See, He took the gold and He said, now you got to trust me to defeat your enemies. See, we trust God. And when you give your tithe, see, that represented the tithe, just a tenth. There was greater cities that they were going to conquer, but that was just the first one going in. That's your first fruits. That's your first enemy. God says, I'll defeat all your enemies, but trust me. Do what I tell you to do. Just give 10. Give me all that gold and silver. Learn to worship me, because you can't go to the promised land and bring all this baggage with you. All this idol worship. Trusting in yourself. Trusting in what your daddy used to do. What your mama used to do. No, we've got to trust God. What did He say to do? So just get an understanding of that. Your tithe represents your worship to God. That God, I'm giving you 10% of what you have freely given me, the ability to go out here and work and provide for my family. And I've been to that place. I've been to Jericho where the walls were big. I couldn't see, how am I going to give 10%, Lord? I'm so far in debt. I'm talking about me now, myself now. Lord, how am I going to do this when I got born again? I've never given before. I've always just wanted and wanted. But I trusted God. Me and my wife trusted God together. When you trust God, the walls are down. He will defeat your enemies, but according to what He's told you to do, you've got to have faith. Faith wasn't mentioned a lot in the Old Testament. It was called trust. In God we trust. You've got to trust what He said. I'm going to take care of your enemies. You bless them, I'll take care of them. The Bible says in the New Testament, bless those that curse you. You bless them, bless your supervisor if they're being hard on you. Don't speak negative while you're mowing the yard. See, Terry's already getting us there. See, He's working on just little things, because God knows there's a bigger challenge coming. If you can be faithful with, Lord, I don't like doing this, but thank God I got air to breathe and grass to grow and the cows can eat. They got something to eat. But see, we got to trust God with our first fruit. And if you don't have, there was times where we just did it. It was impossible. But that's where God meets you, at the impossibilities. And we started giving. That mountain of debt was there. You could say that shingle was there. But God is greater. I said God is greater. And it didn't happen overnight. Now healings can happen. We expect them, healings manifest. We can believe. Other things are a process. When I gave my tithe, I didn't see that wall of debt gone. But it started moving. But in the spirit, see, it's gone. See, the shackles, you got wisdom. In the spirit, I've got wisdom now. Quit using a credit card. And then once you get it paid off, use it wisely. I ain't saying don't use them, but then use it wisely. Don't owe more than you can grow. Amen? So there's our tithe. Trust in God. The 10%. Give Him in this worship. And I think of times when you don't have. I remember Kenneth Copeland giving a testimony one time when he got born again, and they were so far in debt, didn't hardly have anything. And he heard a message, and he said all he had was a broken pencil. He was writing. There was a pencil, I guess, in the pew in front of him, and I think it had been broken. He took that broken pencil, put it in an envelope, and said, God, I'm going to trust you. This is all I have to give, but Lord, I'm giving it and trusting you that you're going to give me provision to provide. He put a broken pencil in an envelope and look at his ministry now. Wherever you are, start there. Amen. God meets you there. But He don't leave you there because He loves you too much. Even while they were in the wilderness, he fed them, did he not? That was the land of just enough. This might just be the message today, I don't know. It's all about following God, being divinely guided by God. The wilderness is, Egypt was not enough. That's when you are a sinner. You don't have God with you. You don't have no hope in this world. You're lost. See, they were lost in Egypt. But then, Moses, the deliverer, came. Jesus came. He hung on that cross and bled and died so that you could be set free. You got born again. They left Egypt. They got born again when Moses, that's the deliverer, that's Jesus. The word came, delivered them. And then they started going through the wilderness. That's the land of just enough. God provided, give us this day, Lord, our daily bread. He provided their daily bread. Just enough. If you went out and got that manna anymore, it would turn into worms. It would rot. It would decay. Got to trust God on what to meet your need. But he had a plan. The wilderness wasn't their destination. Their destination was the promised land of more than enough. See, and God was supplying all. There wasn't nothing they did but just trust God. Now, they got up, and I'm sure they had cows and chickens, and they did all these things they didn't like to do. But that chicken was providing an egg, and that cow was providing milk, and that cow had to be, we had to get out there and farm the land, grow the food that the cow could survive that God gave us, right? Get some goats, Terry, that'll help you out in the yard. wait a minute. We're going forward, though, right? We're going forward. In farm, in certain cultures and areas, goats are okay. I mean, if that's all you got, that's what you need. But that wilderness land was a land of just enough. As supernatural miracles, God fed them with manna, bread from heaven. He gave them the water. Moses would speak to a rock in the wilderness. Supernatural water, living water coming out of that rock, which represented Jesus Christ. Miracles. He led them by fire by night and by the cloud by day. He kept them cool. Temperature was just right, Maldy. Didn't have no thermostat on the wall. God was meeting their every need. Supernaturally. Miracles. Now, but he was trying to get them to the promised land. But he had to get Egypt out of them before he got them there. All those rituals and traditions, all that bondage that was on them, that baggage, that yoke that they were carrying for over 400 years, generation after generation. Poverty, lack, not enough. God was breaking it off of them. He was trying. It took 40 years. Some of them had to die out there in that wilderness. Not us. Christ died for you. Amen? So you don't have to do anything that he's already did. He died for you. He provided everything for us. It's been laid up for us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in him. All we have to do is follow his plan. And that's getting right into the message that we've been sharing here for 3 or 4 weeks, is being divinely guided by God. He wants to get you to the promised land, but he's not going to come down here and do it for us. Now I'm talking about in the Old Testament, they didn't have the Spirit within. They had the Spirit. The anointing would come on the king, the priest, and the prophet. Now, Jesus is our high priest. And he forever lives to make intercession for us in heaven. So whatever you need, he'll say, do something. And you do it. If he says, if you want something, if you need finances, give. The Bible says give. And it will be given to you. But God don't stop there. We're going to the promised land. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together and running over what he calls men. Not God. Men. And it don't even have to be godly men. It could be, he just said men to give unto you, but your bosom. Pharaoh wasn't a godly man. Those people wasn't godly, but they gave everything they had to get away from me. The favor of God. But our purpose is to win souls. And through building, winning souls, we build the kingdom. We bring finances into the kingdom. That's how the kingdom grows financially, is bringing the lost in. But then taking the lost and discipling them about how to give and worship God and expect that we're in the promised land. We ain't going backward. We're going forward. Amen? Let's stand up this morning. That's a good message right now to sow what you have. We've got a command to give. But I don't want to command. God doesn't want you to be commanded to give. He wants you to be inspired to give. Amen? Because for God so loved the world that He gave. And when you give with the attitude of love, the windows of heaven are open to you. I said they're open. Wide open. Let's just say wide open. Wide open windows. God ain't going to rain Ben Franklin's down from heaven. Now that's okay if a dog or a cat or two brought you a $100 bill on the porch. That'd be all right. That's some supernatural wilderness happening stuff. God will meet you where you are. If there's some $100 bills in a parking lot that need to come to you, God can get a cat, He can get a squirrel, whatever He needs to do. That's a supernatural work of God. But God wants you in the promised land. And it said when the children of Israel, when they went to the promised land, the manna stopped. And what did they do? God was going to defeat their enemies. There was lands, houses, big grapes, lush clusters of grapes that was going to be theirs. But also, they were going to live by what a man sows, that shall he reap. They were going to start planting the corn and receiving 30, 60, 100 fold. So they were going to start doing something. They were trusting God. He said, I'll bless the work of your hands. God says, whatever you do, whatever you put your hands to, Joshua, Maldy, Larry, Dallas, whatever you put your hands to, God said He will bless it. Just put your hands to something. I was thinking as Terry was giving that testimony about just being thankful for grass, I remember a story that a man was complaining about because his feet hurt all the time. Lord, my feet are hurting all the time. I need to get me a better pair of shoes or something. Lord, I just need some good shoes. But then he met a man that didn't have no feet. Didn't have no feet. And he was thankful. It brought him down to, Lord, I thank you that I've got feet. So we need to, God always puts, we need to put things in priority. But never be content with, be content where you are. But God, you can't bless others unless you're blessed. We can't help others unless God has met our needs abundantly. See, that's where He wants to trust you. If He can trust you with 10%, He knows He can trust you when you get the investment off of it. The 30, 60, 100 fold. Amen? And it works by love. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you right now, Lord, as we give this morning, Father, that we are a church that believe. We're givers. Lord, we believe in the promises of God. And Satan, we give you great pleasure this morning to tell you, you get off of our finances, you get out of our bank account, savings account, that greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world. And we will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works on the inside of us. That Lord, whatever you've called us to do, Father God, we will accomplish as a person, as a church, and as a family. So Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the provision. We thank you, Lord, for the promises of God are yes and amen. And we will go and we will conquer. We will speak to our walls and you will command those walls through us and they will come down. And we will save those that are lost, Lord, by your word and disciple them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bring your offering this morning. Worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise be to you, Father. Praise be to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Ruthie's got something she'd like to share.
Hello? Okay. Well, when I was sitting over there with Dad, and he was talking about believing in God. I watch Jesse Duplantis, and he's a evangelist, and I love watching him. I always get something out of it. He's a man of God. And one of his messages, he was talking about, he was driving down the road, and him and his wife gave all his money, and they went poor to the God. They gave him to God. And he was driving down the road, and a big jet flew over his head, and he heard God say, I'm going to get you one of those. And then Jesse just was like, Lord, I don't even have enough money to put in gas. How am I going to get a jet? And then he heard God say, Jesse, I didn't ask you to pay for it. I asked you to believe for it. And he just, right then and there, he just started like Oh, man. So when he was going, he was on his way to meet a preacher. And he told his preacher, he was like a new preacher into this. He was young. He was like, guess what? The Lord said that he's going to give me a jet. And that preacher really shot him down. He said, Jesse, you don't even have enough money to get gas. You ain't going to get a jet. And Jesse just was like, oh. And he was like, well, I ain't going to believe you. God said I was going to get a jet. And nowadays, Jesse probably has 10 or 15 jets. He's an evangelist. He's traveled all around the world spreading God's word. And just because he believed in God, he didn't believe in what that man said. He didn't let that break him down. Instead, he just, I'm going to believe God. I'm not going to believe in you. It's the same thing, like, I was thinking about it. I was like, that's the same thing with, like, if someone said that I had cancer, am I really going to believe them, or am I going to believe what God said? He said, I'm healed. I've already healed you. You don't have to go through that. I suffered for you. And that was just on my heart. I was just like, all these things, people in the world, they try to tell you something, but, I mean, are you going to listen to the world or God? And then I'm just going to listen to God, so.
I think those could be some words that we could live by. Yes. Just believe what God says. Sometimes we as human beings that God has created with, you know, supernatural abilities, God's put on the inside of us to accomplish things. But sometimes we get in there and we make things a lot harder than what it is. In other words, we need to keep the gospel simple. Amen. Just believe. Just believe. That's what Jesus said. How can one enter into the kingdom of God? Nicodemus asked him. Jesus said, all you got to do is believe. It ain't all these outward works. You just believe, but then once you believe and receive Jesus Christ, that is eternal life. Now you have a relationship back with God the Father. But then from that relationship, you will start doing something. Amen? See, faith, you can have God faith or you can have dead faith. God's faith does something. It gets up, it arises, and it goes, and it does something. But the devil, he doesn't want you to know that God has given you something to do. Amen? He wants to always tear down and get you off course. When God says something, you just believe it. And like Ruthie says, no matter what stands before or what lies behind, just go on. Trust God, believe God, and praise Him and worship Him, and He'll get you through it. Amen? And like I say, God never brings temptation, testing, and trials. They're going to come regardless. So that's where we get off. James said, don't say when you're tempted of God. God never tempted us to begin with. The devil brought the temptation, the deception. Yeah, he was created by God, but God did not put those intentions in him. God gave that angel a free will also. It said pride was found in him. But if God brings you to it, God will take you through it. Amen. Now I say that saying that God's not going to bring you temptation, tests, and trials. But when they come, if you've got God on the inside of you, it's time to put your rod down and watch the sea depart. Because see, God took them from Egypt going to the promised land. The Red Sea was just something that was in the way that was created by God Almighty to begin with. It was never meant to be an obstacle. It was always meant to be a source of supply for fish and always good. That's who God is. He looked at it, even said himself, man, that's good. He said, ain't that what the Bible said? God created it. He said, man, that's good. It's okay. When you do something for God, appreciate yourself. Thank you, Father. That's good. Enjoy what He's given you to do. Amen. So if God brought them out of Egypt not to just be destroyed at the Red Sea. See, God brought them to it. That was the plan, getting them there. But He also gave them the power to go through it. And that's the Christian walk. When you come to Christ, you get born again. You're out of Egypt. You're out of bondage. You're out of all those shackles and chains. You've been set free. You've been delivered. Our part now is to follow the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're going to be talking about a little this morning. We're not going to get into a lot this morning, but we've already been in a lot. We've been in His presence and in His power and in His Spirit. Words of testimony. See, God is doing something. He's doing something on the inside of you and me. It's greater than what we can understand. Like Jesse, when he saw that jet and God spoke to him. Not everybody's going to have a worldwide ministry and need a jet, but Jesse did. That was something on the inside of him that God had ordained before he was born. And when that time, when he was on his Damascus Road experience, God told him to look up, and he looked up and he saw a jet. And he said, "You're going to have one of those, Jesse." All he had to do was believe for it. See, whatever stands in front of you, don't think in your power and ability you can get rid of it. God says, just believe in me. Trust in me. I'll move it, but you got to do the walking. You got to do the talking. Speak to the mountain. We got to speak to the mountain. And don't let the devil tell you otherwise. That jet, Jesse didn't let the devil come and steal his dream. So just get a little bit into where we picked up off of last week, talking about divine guidance. And it's all about making Jesus your companion. Your pilot. Don't let him be your co-pilot. Let him be your pilot. No, Jesus is my co-pilot. No, get it. Let him have the plane. You just follow. You ride. You say, "Lord, that's a good place." He'll take you over those mountains. If you're in the valley, you're going through the valley, he'll bring you out of that valley. Amen? Because the Lord is your shepherd. So how can we talked about the great shepherd. How can we position ourselves to hear the great shepherd's voice? How can we position ourselves to hear God's plan? Well, here's a few steps. Isaiah 40, 31. The word has got to be, this is your blueprint to success. We talked about success. Here's your blueprint. Amen. You're going to have to do some reading. You're going to have to do some studying. You're going to have to do some seeking. Ask, seek, and knock. God's just not going to drop the blueprint in your lap. Because if He did, there wouldn't be no faith in that. And see, it takes faith to please God. Faith is doing something. Faith is now. Faith has power. Faith is saying something. God, when He said things, He spoke things, He created things. That's what He put on the inside of us, that same ability to move things, create things. Amen? Isaiah 40, 31. And God hasn't changed. He's still the Creator. He's still the Creator. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I don't even know if we'll get off this verse today. Did it say everybody? It says they. It didn't say everybody. It says they that wait upon the Lord. We don't want to be in front of Jesus. We want to be following Him. I'd say side by side, but never get in front of Him, because if we get in front of Him, then we're doing it our way and not His way. Follow me. He told all of His disciples, follow me. Now, He'll take you to the role of leadership, but you still got to follow Jesus. He's not here in the earth, in the body. The Holy Spirit is. He's the one that's working in the earth today, but Jesus is in heaven, and He still has a plan. He's still giving. He's the captain of the host of the army. We're in the army. You're a soldier in the army of the Lord. He's still giving commands. Go here, do that. Give this, receive that. Say this, bless her, bless him. Speak to that. He's still giving commands. He never changes. But those who wait on the Lord, and that word wait doesn't mean I go to my prayer closet and I twiddle my thumbs and I wait on Jesus. I'm waiting on the Lord. Somebody says, "When are you going to do that great challenge God's called you?" Well, I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm just waiting on the Lord. God's waiting on us. That word wait does not mean, if you ever go out and eat and you have a waitress that waits on you, is she sitting in the kitchen just waiting? I'm waiting. That's my table. I'm waiting on them. No, she is. What can I get for you? Oh, iced tea, another bread. She is waiting on you. She is serving you. So when we wait upon the Lord, I'm waiting upon the Lord. I'm reading chapter, chapter, chapter. See, I'm doing something. Not in my ability, but I am searching. I'm seeking. I'm waiting upon the Lord. Where do I go? What do I do, Lord? What do I need to say? I'm not just waiting. Now, there's times to wait and hear His voice. Be still and know that I am God. He will speak to you. But that waiting is being about God's business. When Jesus came to the age of accountability, 12 years old, He was with the teachers. Mom and Daddy was 2 days ahead and noticed that Jesus wasn't there. 12 years old. But He was back in Jerusalem with the teachers of the law. And when they found Him, they said, "Son, what are you doing? Where have you been?" Words of God. "Did you not know I had to be about my Father's business?" 12 years old, He was in there listening to them, studying. See, He was waiting upon the Lord. That's what it is. You're about your Father's business. Now, we don't want to get too busy. We don't want to get ahead of God, but we want to be doing what He's called us to do. Studying, serving, meeting a need, praying for a need. See, that's waiting upon the Lord. You can go in the book of Acts. I'm not sure of the scripture right now. When they were separating Paul and Barnabas for the work, it said they were praying and they were fasting. Praying and fasting. That ain't just 5-10 minutes. They were praying and seeking God like Reed was up here praying and seeking the Lord this morning. See, he was waiting upon the Lord, seeking Him. Well, that's what they were doing. And then the Holy Ghost said, as they were praying, they were ministering, they were waiting upon the Lord, seeking Him for advice, for wisdom. And it said, the Holy Ghost said, and there was prophets in that room, so I'm pretty sure the Spirit of God spoke through a prophet and said, "Separate unto me Barnabas and Paul for the work which I have called them." So when you're waiting upon the Lord, He's going to speak to you. He can speak to somebody else to speak to you. Because sometimes when you're caught up in the wilderness, you don't know, you're confused. The devil wants to bring confusion. He's in the wilderness. The devil's in the wilderness. He's confusion. He wants to give you all these different things. When you're seeking God, that's a lot of times when the devil will open up the doors that he's been trying to keep you out of. Just because the devil wants to open up all kinds of doors so you don't know which way to go. But there's one door. Jesus said, "I am the door. I am the shepherd. My sheep hear my voice and a stranger's voice." Confusion is not God's voice. If there's confusion in it, there's no peace in it. God's not in it. Oh, it might be good. It might be great. But it ain't God. Right? So see, God's plan is the plan we need to stay on. And that's how to do that. We have to wait upon the Lord. Serve Him. Just do what we know to do. Do what God's told you, the last thing He's told you to do. Do that. If you haven't heard anything else, just keep doing that until the next step. Wait upon the Lord. When you're waiting, He's going to renew your strength. The Holy Spirit's going to comfort you and strengthen you. Be of good courage, He told Joshua, because He knew the Holy Ghost was going to be there. The angels were going to be there. God was going to do whatever He needed to do. If He said, "You can be strong, Joshua," God's going to help him. He's going to help him defeat those enemies. He's going to give him the wisdom like He gave Moses. "As I was with Moses, Joshua, I'm going to be with you." So, and you can see why those that wait upon the Lord is doing something. Keep on reading the verse. "Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up." Mount up. Does that mean you're sitting at the house waiting on the Lord? What does mount up mean? It means get up on your horse. "They shall mount up with wings like eagles." We're ready. We're mounting up. We're doing something when we're waiting upon the Lord. We're ready. We're getting prepared. We're in the Word. We're studying. We're around godly influence, friends, and family. If we got something that's coming against us, we need to surround ourselves with those that believe in God. Amen. Not, you know, doctors are there to help us, but they're not God. You know, take the doctor's advice, but I know God. Amen. Lord, what are you saying? If you're hearing all kinds of things, you need to get to church. I mean, this is the place to be, even if things are coming against you. Because that's where your strength is. Mount up. We're going to mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. When you're doing something for God and doing God's business, He's going to give you the strength. The provision is going to be there. The protection is going to be there. Because His grace is there. And I'll say the anointing is there. for you to do it. God's anointing is His ability that He graces you with. It's not nothing you do or have. It's what He has given you. Amen? That's the anointing. That's the power that's on the inside of you to sing, to dance, to preach, to teach, to work, to live. We have an anointing to live. Hallelujah. Just to get up and live is an anointing from God. Because He's the author of life. He is the author of life. Yeah, this body's going to lay down one day, but when it does, God's going to raise it back. It doesn't matter what took it, because sin is there. This body's got to die. Unless Jesus comes by the, unless we don't, either we go by the grave or we go by the rapture, we'll be changed. We won't even have to go to the grave. If we're here when He comes, we're just going to be changed. The Bible says this mortality is going to put on immortality. This suit's coming off. God's got me another suit. Amen. A glorified suit. He's got you one too. We shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and will not faint. For the Lord will go before them, and His joy shall be His strength, our strength. So don't grow weary in doing well. Galatians 6, 7 through 10. Because He has already said that He gives new. Don't grow weary in doing what He has already said He gives you to do. Don't grow weary in that. Because that's the specific direction God has given you. Just carry on. 1 Corinthians, and this is talking about how to position yourself to hear God's voice, to know which way to go, what to do. Wait upon the Lord. This is a good place to wait. We serve God by serving others. Church is a good place to wait upon the Lord. Serve for Him in 1 Corinthians 15. All the way toward the end here. I actually just was talking about it, so we'll just share it right here. Just look in verse 50. Isaiah 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 through 58. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, our bodies, we've got to be changed. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. The Word of God is incorruptible. Heaven is incorruptible. There's no decay. There's no rust. There's nothing in heaven decaying. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, or we shall not all die right there. But we shall all be changed. Those that are in Christ Jesus, we're going to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, if Jesus returned, if the trump of God sounded right now, we'd have to be changed. When He brings us at the last trump, for the trumpet will sound. They blew that trumpet in Jericho. Every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, they was coming out. The enemies were saying, they're going to blow that trumpet again, ain't they? They're going to blow that trumpet again. Jesus said, they're going to blow the trumpet. There was a feast of Pentecost, and there was a feast of trumpets. We talked about Pentecost this morning. There's another feast coming, church. It's the trump, the feast of trumps when we're out of here. Amen. Hallelujah. That makes me want to shout right there. I can feel something right there. I can feel a little bit of change happening. Hallelujah. There's coming a time. That trumpet's going to sound. Body's going to be changed. And zoom, we out of here in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Jesse won't need no jet no more. Glory to God. We'll have a body that can go past eternity, past the, what's that last planet out there I removed? Pluto. Look out, Pluto. We'll break the sound barrier. And the dead, for the trump shall sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. Talking about those that are alive, we're going to be changed. The dead's going to be changed. We all are going to be changed into a new body, a glorified body. That's the hope that we have. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death is the last enemy that's going to be destroyed. Death is going to swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, or oh, hell, where is your victory? Paul said, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. See, as long as we're in this body, this body is decaying. It's dying. So it's got sin in it. Now, I'm not talking about your born-again self. I'm talking about your body. So it's dying. It's got sin in it. But thanks be to God. See, there's your hope. that one day it's got to get off of me. This sin's got to get off of me because it's going to be changed. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Here's another place you got to be. Be steadfast to hear God's voice. Be immovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Don't go weary in well-doing, knowing this. No matter what stands before me, what I'm battling right now, stay in the work of the Lord because I'm going to be changed, and I'm going to be changed now. My body, you're going to change now. The work of the Lord is being done. Body, you better get in line. Body, you better be strengthened. Knowing that your labor is not in vain. We got rewards coming in heaven. We're going to be rewarded down here too. Also, God's going to bless us abundantly down here. But we got rewards in heaven awaiting on us, every work we do. How to position yourself to hear God's voice. Don't go weary in well-doing. Keep on. Be a good soldier for the Lord. Be steadfast, immovable. That might it might mean putting boots on the ground. Amen. Sometimes we need soldiers on the ground. We got to be steadfast, be immovable on what we believe. We believe that we are free in Christ Jesus and we're not bound by any law. Paul said, I'm not bound by any law. I'm a free man because he was born again. He knew who he was in Christ. Last one in this, how to position yourself. Receive power and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And let's just take a look there because we sing in the song that Peter stood up and preached about this morning. This is that Joel knew about. So let's just look in Acts 1, and we're probably going to finish here because this is key if you're going to be divinely guided by the Lord. This is how you need to act in the book of Acts. This is what the church should be acting like. Acts 1:8, the disciples were asking Jesus about all these things. When was this going to happen? When was that going to happen? Verse 7 says, and Jesus said to them, it's not for you to know times or season, which the Father has put in his own authority. But, that's not the end of the story, but you shall receive power. And that power is dunamis. That's what they make dynamite out of. Dynamite. Dunamis. But you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and Concord and Canapolis to the ends of the world. That's the power. So Jesus said, wait till you get the power. And then look at Acts 2:4. Jesus said, but you shall receive. Did Jesus mean what he said? Does Jesus mean what he says? If he said you shall receive, he didn't say all would receive. He said, but you shall receive. In verse 2:4, just go to verse 2:1. When the day of Pentecost, that was a feast of Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection, Jesus appeared to them after his resurrection 40 days. And from the time he was ascended, they had to tarry. They waited 10 days in Jerusalem for the gift right here. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, that 120 up in the upper room. And suddenly, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, there's one of them suddenlies. In a moment, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house. If that's your house and God's filling it and you in it, you're in the right place. You're going to get filled, amen? Because you wasn't there unless you were expecting to be filled. Or you were expecting to receive power. They didn't know what that power was. But when it came in, they were all filled. When God came in, they were all filled. And it didn't hurt. It felt good. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is good. Being filled with the presence of God is good. It includes speaking in tongues. Tongues is not of the devil. If anybody's ever heard that. Tongues is of the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen? And that's good. Paul said, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. But that I might prophesy while I'm in a church service so that y'all all can understand. Amen. So that's the way God does it. It's good. But when I leave here and the devil starts hitting me with doubt and unbelief, then I pray in my most holy faith. I pray in the Holy Ghost, building myself up. That's what they were filled with, the power of God. See, I used to be in a church, in different churches. There wasn't no power there. The lights were on, but there wasn't nobody home. Help me now. You can be the lights on, but there ain't nobody home. I ain't saying God ain't there, but the power wasn't there. You got to let the power come on inside of you. Now, every one of us could be filled, or there could be some filled. See, God can, He works in His people. But in that house, in the day of Pentecost, when it fully come, that whole house, that 120, were filled with His power. His ability, that power means the Holy Ghost came in and filled them with His power. They were baptized in the Holy Ghost, you could say. They, you know, we don't sprinkle, we baptize. Baptize, you go under. Jesus is the baptizer. He baptized them in the Holy Ghost that day. We're talking about how we're going to be hearing God's voice. You need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Continually filled. That was just a... See, they were filled that day, but there was continuous fillings. When they were filled, something came out. Peter started preaching the message. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one set upon each of them, and they were all filled. Say, all filled. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began, say, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, expect to speak in tongues. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, or you could say the inspiration. This word that I'm reading here today was inspired by men of God that were moved upon by the Holy Ghost. They weren't men filled with the Holy Ghost in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, Peter, John, they were filled. John wrote the book of Revelation. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He spoke in tongues. But that ain't all that he did. I said that ain't all that he did. Amen. He wrote the book of Revelations. He saw things. He heard things. And they couldn't kill him. They boiled him in oil. He wouldn't die. Because he had the power in him. If he didn't have that power, he couldn't have stayed alive in that body. But see, he had a power on the inside of him. It was called resurrection power. It was the life of God on the inside of him. And you need that. That's why Jesus said, tarry here, because you need that. If you're going to get out here in the army, you need all the equipment that God has equipped you with. That's fivefold ministry gifts. That's the fruit of the Spirit, all of it. You need to know that. And the Holy Spirit being filled with His power gives you the ability to know that. I didn't have the infilling at one time. I was born again. I didn't speak in tongues. But then I received, because I believed. Amen. And then it helped. It started changing my life. I started hearing things and knowing things that just being born again, there's more. There's the promised land. See, you're born again. You're still in the wilderness. You need to hear God. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the promised land. Then you start hearing God, doing different things, manifesting the power of God. You believe the impossible, Jesse says, and receive the ability to do what God's called you to do. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I just thank You right now for Your Holy Spirit. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this place that You have given us here, Lord, for the giftings and the callings, Lord, that You have brought each individual into this place to know You, to worship You. Holy Spirit, we thank You for Your power and for Your ability. We thank You, Holy Spirit, that You filled on the day of Pentecost, You filled the upper room with Your presence. Holy Spirit, we thank You that You have filled us in this room. And if there's those that have not received that infilling, today is your day. This is your opportunity. If you want to be filled by the Holy Ghost and you need His filling, we're here to agree with you. And Father, we just thank You right now. I know there's those that are listening by internet that, Lord, before you get filled, you got to have something for God to fill. You need to be born again by the power of God. You need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you haven't received Him, all you got to do is believe that He is the Son of God. Believe that He died on the cross, but He didn't stay there. He rose again for to give you life, and that more abundantly. And all you got to do is put your faith and trust in Him and receive Him as your Lord and Savior. And you are born again. And then you just go on into Pentecost. You just go on over and be filled with His Spirit. Ask Him to fill you and reveal His power and ability in you, in Jesus' name. If there's anybody here that needs those two things, we're here for you. We'll open up the altar to you right now. If you need to be born again, or if you need to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit, we're here to agree with you. Let's take a few seconds, a few minutes, just to open up that invitation. Father, we just thank you.